This morning we continue our winter journey, December journey, Advent journey, with the lighting of two candles on our Advent wreath, and the words of the poet Mary Oliver. Pay attention, be astonished, tell about it. And if you were paying attention as the scripture was read, you'll realize that indeed it must be Advent, these weeks of preparing for the birth of the Christ child, because, lo and behold, John the Baptist shows up again, right on time. And his appearance, his clothing, his words are all intended to astonish us. So hear it for the crazy, weird news that is his to embody and to proclaim. What a sight this wild man conjures up in our mind's eye. For Matthew tells us, John wore clothing of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Now, this apparel was not merely John's personal style choice. As Matthew tells the story, he wants John's wardrobe to send a message, one that might be lost on us because we're not familiar with the context. We need to know that John's clothing set him apart from the Qumran community to which he might have belonged, who dressed in white linen. Instead, the gospel writer Matthew dresses John in the clothing of the poor. And eschewing the priestly line from which he came, his camel hair, homespun, and leather belt identified him in the long line of prophets like Isaiah, whose words Annika read for us earlier. The great prophet Isaiah said it this way: righteousness shall be the belt around his waist, and faithfulness the belt around his loins. The wolf shall live with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the kid, the calf and the lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. They will not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. On that day, the root of Jesse shall stand as a signal to the peoples. The nations shall inquire of him, and his dwelling will be glorious. Now, out in the wilderness, the prophet John preached a strong, almost harsh word with zeal to wake up the religious authorities of his time. Desperate to shake them out of their staid religiosity and self-serving rules and ritual, calling them back to their roots and to their true identity. Come clean, he urged them, in the waters of this river, for our God demands of us authenticity and justice. This homespun prophet John wanted them to wake up and truly see what was going on around them in order that they might be able to perceive the new thing that God was doing in their midst. The kingdom of heaven is at hand, he promised. The kingdom of heaven is. And we, as they, should be astonished at his audacity and his blunt speech. Pay attention. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Be astonished. In an Advent reflection published in the Christian Century this week, Stephanie Paulzell seems to pick up our theme. She writes, "In Advent, with Christmas shining in the distance, we are on the verge of a lot of strange stuff. Prophets who shout themselves hoarse, angels who turn up in ordinary places where people live and work, Mary greeted by an angel in her own hometown. She knows this stuff is strange. How, she asked the angel, how can this be?" The strange stuff of this season, Paulzell notes, draws our gaze to the margins, to the vulnerable people championed by the prophets, to the shepherds who work while others sleep, to the young unwed mother. The prophets and the angels cast their strangeness over Advent, but they also help us see the mystery that is already there, pouring out of these lives like a blessing, illuminating the strange and wondrous presence of God in the midst of ordinary life. Pay attention, our poet Mary Oliver would say. Be astonished. The words of Isaiah and of John the Baptist point us not away from this world and its hurts and suffering, but right back into the places of greatest need, that something new and good might emerge. The waters that wash clean, the repentance that opens our eyes, turns us around, and sets us back on the path of the way of the Lord, make possible new life. As Isaiah put it, a shoot shall come out of the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of its roots. Pay attention. Astonished. Out of the stump, a fresh shoot shall come. As those of you who know trees know, cut down a tree but leave its roots, and many new shoots will sprout from its stump. For the roots go deep and connect to the source of life, which cannot be quenched or denied. It was so for the Hebrew people, as Isaiah and John knew. From the wounded places, the hurting places, the almost given up for dead places, new life can grow. The kingdom of heaven is always close at hand. It is so for nations and for peoples, and it is so in our own lives as well. In every life, there comes a time of painful defeat or loss, when a loved one dies, when a friend dies too soon, when a marriage ends in bitterness and recrimination, when a job proves to be a dead end, when a dream does not materialize, when we are disillusioned by the imperfection of a relationship, a community, a government, a church, when life tastes bitter when sorrow crushes, we perceive finally only a stump of truncated hope, and we are tempted to cynicism or despair. And yet, it is precisely in these times, Scripture tells us, that new life will spring forth. From death, life. From despair, hope. New, tentative, fragile shoots of green begin to grow, almost imperceptibly at first. In God's time, resurrection happens. Pay attention. Be astonished. Because it is truly astonishing to believe that God could love this world and each and every one of us with a love so tenacious and fierce as to show up and intervene to save us and set us free and bring us new life. Astonishing that God would show up in a crazy prophet out in the wilderness, calling us back to our true selves. Show up in a star and angels and shepherds. A tiny little baby sleeping in the animal's manger. It's all astonishing. Maybe it's why we do a lot of things in church that might seem rather astonishing if you don't know the faith that underlies it all. Things we do all the time and forget to be astonished about, like tying knots on a piece of cloth and saying a prayer, knowing that a prayer quilt can make all the difference in someone's health, physical and spiritual. Things like believing that bringing a meal to someone's home can help heal the hurt and grief. Things like believing that sending a team of a few people to New Orleans or Haiti can save lives and help build a better future. Things like trusting that showing up at someone's door to sing Christmas carols in the dark will fill hearts with love and joy. Things like trusting that giving back and giving of ourselves brings the greatest satisfaction and peace within. Things like betting our lives on the promise that even now God is making all things new. This is the astonishing, powerful faith of Isaiah and John the Baptist, the faith of Mary and Joseph, and of Jesus, a faith that proclaims healing and hope to all the hurting places of our lives and of this world, a faith that digs deep into its roots over and over again to remember and repent and refocus and renew. A faith that believes the promise of God so that even when it sees only stumps, it knows that new shoots of life will emerge, green and vital. It believes that those shoots will grow towards the light and they will prosper and they will multiply, and in time they will become the tree of life, the tree in the middle of the city of God. And its fruit will bring healing, and its leaves will be for the healing of the nations. Pay attention. Astonished, and live knowing that the kingdom of heaven is